Hello, everyone. Welcome to Freedom's Way Monday. I am so excited about this message tonight. I just cannot, I can hardly contain myself. Hallelujah. If you have opened this message from an archive source, please know we are on a live teleconference call meeting. That means that people will be calling in from all over the place. We're going to give them just a few minutes to get here before we get started. And anytime you digital listeners, anytime you would like to join us live, Freedom's Way meetings are held each Monday night and Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-POUND. If you'd like to know more about us, our website is www.freedomswayministries.com. Our phone numbers are on there, and lots of good resources to help you come into your true identity. Hallelujah. So welcome, and if you would like to say hello, before we get started tonight, now is a good time to do that. Oh, let me check and make sure you can do that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hello, Vicki. This is Ellen.
I don't seem to remember.
Oh, I'm telling you, it scares me silly when that happens. I think, oh, I'm not going to get to listen.
No, you
not really.
Regardless, you will hear us. Hallelujah.
Yep.
Anybody else want to say hello? Hi, Nancy. Welcome, ladies.
Hi. Thank you. It's cold. It's turning cold now. We have snow up in the mountains, and it's cold now.
In the mountains? Where?
California.
Instead of this cold.
Yeah. It's a little chilly down here in Florida. But not
well,
like
it was in the 60s and 69 and 70s all this last week. So it was really nice during the day. But now it's turning frantically cold. It's in the 50s right now.
I'm into the 40s tonight.
Yeah, we'll be down tonight. But it gets warm in the day. It's good, though. It's all good. God is good.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Who else would like to say hello?
Hi, Ms. Vicki. I made it to this.
Thank you, Mitch.
Hey, Pastor Phil.
Good evening, everyone.
Welcome, minutes. Hallelujah.
Hey, brother.
That sounds like
hey, your voice.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that sounded like Cindy?
No, that's correct. Good evening.
Thank you for joining us. As I said, I don't know who all was on when I said it. I am very excited about this message tonight. It's an unusual thing. It's very hard to explain, but whenever I put a message together, I don't really realize what I'm doing. Why are you shaking your head? It's a fact. And when I reread it, then it hits me. That it, you know, wow. The Holy Spirit is just amazing. It's just amazing. So, anybody else before I mute the phones?
Hello.
Hi, Kyle. Welcome. You remembered.
Oh, how are you doing, Ms. Vicki?
Good. Good, good, good. Anybody else? We have a lot of material to cover tonight, so I am going to go ahead. If there are no other hellos, I'm going to go ahead and mute your telephones, and we will get started.
Good evening and welcome to Freedom's Way Monday night. We have a great message for you tonight. You're going to be blessed. My name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki, and we are Freedom's Way, and our mission is to help you come into your full, true identity in Christ and enjoy the benefits of kingdom living and kingdom authority. And anything we can do to help you in that area, we are glad to do it and available to you. And this is also something of a necessity for the days to come. So stay with us for our teachings. They're instrumental in helping you come into your full identity, your true identity, and operating in the power of God. And also anything else that you need to add. We have a treasure trove of information on our website. So visit it once, visit it often. Hallelujah. So tonight we have the part two of the difference between righteousness and holiness. Again, great message. So make yourself comfortable, get ready, and here we go. I'm going to pray us in. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. We thank you that it is your word. It is the Holy Spirit of God that writes these messages, anoints them, and delivers them. Hallelujah. So thank you, Lord, for you, for all your goodness, all you're doing through the ministry, and always we give you honor and glory in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, we turn aside any assignment from hell that would try to blunt or distort this message in any way, where God's people wouldn't get the full benefit of what God intended for them to have and the treasure that it holds. So thank you, Lord, again. Again, we say, Holy Spirit, have your way in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So last week, we began a message on the difference between righteousness and holiness, because there seems to be some confusion in the body of Christ about this particular subject. Although some Christians use these words interchangeably, they are not the same. It is true that we cannot recognize that righteousness isn't... Let me say that again. It is true, hallelujah, that we cannot hope to achieve true holiness without being righteous. I have trouble with that. We cannot hope to achieve true holiness without being righteous. It's also true that if we don't fully recognize that righteousness isn't something we do, but rather who we are, we will fail to express true holiness unto God. It's also true that if we don't fully recognize that righteousness isn't something we do, but rather who we are, we will fail to express true holiness unto God. Holiness is in part an expression of righteousness. However, it is not righteousness. Holiness can be achieved by our conscious decisions regarding our actions and attitudes. Those many times daily decisions must be to express the righteousness of Jesus no matter what the situation or circumstance. So while righteousness enters us when we accept Christ Jesus and thus we have no true righteousness of our own. Holiness is in our care, custody, and control. Righteousness is God's gift to us by the presence in us of the Lord Jesus. Holiness is our gift to God as we express that righteousness. Holiness is progressive in its nature and comes through our relationship with the Lord. In this message, we will begin to explore holiness in depth as we did righteousness last week. But first, I think it's in order to repeat some key points. Righteousness and holiness are not the same. Righteousness isn't something we do, but who we are because we receive Jesus as Savior and Lord of our lives. Some people only receive Jesus as Savior, but not Lord. But on the other hand, holiness is intertwined with our decisions regarding our actions and attitudes. Holiness is our gift to God, and it is a gift with some assembly required. As we allow the righteousness of Jesus within us to take precedence over our own will and ways, holiness is birthed and grows.
Hallelujah. That was a lot of information. That was a lot. For the note takers, you can ask us after and we will repeat some of that for you, what you missed. Just as last week's message on righteousness, this message on holiness will be heavy laden with the Word of God. So get ready to take notes, write down scriptures that you can study out later. Your pen will remember a lot more than your brain does. And we do not want this to simply be a good word that you're going to forget in a day or two. Our meetings are designed and intended to help you grow in the Lord and in your true identity, so that you will be able to overcome every assignment of hell against you and your family. So take these words that you hear, let them change you in the presence of the Lord and His Word of life. Having given you a pretty good study on righteousness last week, we hope to do the same for holiness now. Holiness is the English translation of the Hebrew word kodesh, which means sacred, referring to a place or a thing. It is something that has been consecrated, dedicated, and set apart for a specific purpose. You can be holy to a lot of different things. And you can have items in your possession that are holy. When fax communication technology first came into being, faxes were transmitted over telephone lines. Many businesses had a dedicated fax line, telephone line. It was a sacred line, because that was its only use. That telephone line was holy unto the fax machine. There may be an item in your kitchen or a tool in your garage that's only used for one purpose. That item or tool is holy to that purpose. Some people are set apart to a sports team. The team and their loyalty to it are sacred. They never miss a game. They dress in team colors and clothing. They might even decorate their homes or workplaces to reflect their passion. They worship and adore the players. The topic of their conversations centers around the team. Their time, their money, and their honor belongs to the team. They are consecrated to their team. The team is sacred to the loyal fan. It is holy.
True holiness unto God then would be fully set apart and dedicated to Him and to Him alone. It's the condition not simply of more of you and less of me, Lord. It is the condition of all of you and none of me, Lord. That condition is already in us because of Jesus within us. Jesus himself was holy. He was fully dedicated to his Father God. Jesus gave up everything for the Father. He lived only from the Father and not for himself. Jesus was totally set apart, fully consecrated and dedicated only to the will and purposes of God. Matthew chapter 26, verse 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, your will be done. John 4, verse 34. Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. John 9 and 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. And John 8, verses 28 and 29. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him.
Hallelujah. Because Jesus succeeded in holiness, He was able to send the Ruach Kadosh. Kadesh? How do you say it?
Ruach HaKodesh.
The Holy Spirit. The breath of God. To help us do the same and more. Certainly a part of doing the things that are pleasing to the Father is working the works of God, just as Jesus did. Ephesians 2, verse 10, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. That is a major aspect of being holy unto God, and being holy unto God is our goal. 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16. But as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be you holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 20, verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be you holy, For I am the Lord your God. Be holy. Although we have holiness in us as part of the nature and character of Jesus, is not being actively expressed, is it? These scriptures tell us we are to be holy. If we have holiness already, why do we need to be holy? If we have holiness, doesn't that mean we're already holy? No. We must choose to set ourselves apart unto God. We must make the conscious and heart-motivated choice to do as Jesus did and sanctify ourselves. What does that mean exactly? How can we do that? That is the meat of this message. The how-tos that make us holy. Those things we can do to follow the pattern Jesus gave us for life and living. Basically, in order to be holy unto the Lord, we must set aside what we think, how we respond, how we feel, what we allow in our lives, and what we desire.
Amen. Those are the horns of the altar on which we choose to be bound as a living sacrifice to God. They are also known as the strengths of man, our soulish realm. They consist of our mind or intellect, our emotions or feelings, our wants and lusts of the flesh, and our will, which is the part of our soul we use to allow things into our lives or keep them out. This is the natural man who must be crucified daily for the exchange of the supernatural man we were created to be. Romans tells us to become a living sacrifice, which explains binding the sacrifice with cords. If the sacrifice were dead, there would certainly not be a need to tie a dead animal on the altar. But as living sacrifices, we have a tendency to crawl off when it gets hot. Psalm 118, verse 27. God is the Lord, which has shown us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word doesn't say being a living sacrifice is an outstanding service or a remarkable service or even an honorable service. It says that sacrificing yourself is a reasonable service. It is something expected of you if you claim to love the Lord. There are practically endless ways outline in the Word of God as to how to accomplish this reasonable service of being a living sacrifice. It's actually simple, but it's not easy.
Amen. Righteousness is not something you can earn through your good works, but it is something you can live through your obedience to the law of love, allowing the righteousness of Jesus to rule and manifest in our lives, grows us up in holiness. The word tells us that yielding to righteousness leads to holiness. Romans 6, verse 18 and 19. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. As we yield every area of our souls to Him, the Lord develops His holiness in us as part of our nature rather than a work of our determination. I'm going to say it again. As we yield every area of our souls to Him, the Lord develops His holiness in us as part of our nature rather than a work of our determination. We must make the exchange of our mind for the mind of Christ, adjusting our thoughts to align with His thoughts. We must put away our own will for the will of the Father. We must match our emotions to God's emotions rather than yielding to emotions to rule over us. We must learn to desire what God desires for us to have. I want to say one more thing about emotions. Don't use emotions as an excuse for bad behavior. Think about that. Over time, we do these things. Over time, we become totally set apart and given over to God and His will and purposes. We must remain conscious of what we're doing and what He is doing in us and through us. Just as natural laws can be manipulated but not done away with, spiritual laws are also subject to the same. For example, using power, the law of lift can overcome the law of gravity, but not eliminate or destroy it. Gravity still operates. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus overcomes the law of the spirit of death in the flesh, but it doesn't eliminate it. That spirit of death still operates. It is only by the power of God that the flesh can be overcome. Let's look at what flesh is, because most people think it's either their own bodies or their own soulish senses. Flesh is neither of those things.
First of all, your body cannot think independently of your mind,
Amen.
Which is a part of your soul. The word tells us we are to glorify God in our bodies. The body is a temple to house the Spirit of God. It carries His glory. The body is a vessel only. It cannot think, nor can it make a decision without the will being involved. Paul did his best to explain to us in the book of Romans that the soul is not the flesh, and it is not the problem. Sin is the problem, and it lives in us, even after our born-again experience. But it isn't living in our souls, because Paul eliminated every element of the soul as its dwelling place. You'll find that in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. One reference. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. In this verse, Paul states that he does not even allow what he is doing in his life, yet he's doing it. That eliminates the area of the will. He also says he hates what he's doing. That eliminates the emotions. Neither the will nor the emotions is the dwelling place of sin. Romans 7, verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwells in me. Here Paul recognizes and admits that his desires, his want-tos, are for good and not evil. That eliminates the area of man's desire as sin's abode. Romans 7, verses 22, 23, and 25. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Apparently, the mind is not the place of sin either, since Paul clearly says he serves the law of God with his mind. Paul concludes that he serves the law of sin with the flesh. So if the soul isn't the flesh and the body isn't the flesh, the flesh must be spirit. But wait, it can't be the spirit man of a believer because we know the spirit is perfected by Christ. Therefore, the only answer to the question, what is the flesh, is that it is the character and nature of the kingdom of darkness which invaded mankind at the fall. Sin is a living being that goes by many names and manifests in various ways by using your body and your soul in some way. Where in you does it live? Who knows? And who cares as long as you realize it's not you.
Amen. Amen. Now, somebody out there has got a real problem trying to reconcile what you've been taught all your life about your old man. It's just you, your flesh, not your flesh. It's the character and nature of the enemy. Once you're aware that sin, although it is in you, is not you, then you can successfully separate yourself from it and give yourself to God. Many people have become one with sin because they think, it's just me, it's just the way I am. When this belief is entertained, wow, when, oh Lord, when you think it's just me, when this belief is entertained, then you're unable to separate yourselves unto God, fully yielding to the Holy Spirit that is within you. Can't do it. That's because no one can separate himself from himself. But once you realize flesh is the carnal nature of Satan and his demon, you can sanctify yourself by the power of God with you and within you. There will no longer be a struggle against the works of the flesh because you will no longer be fighting yourself. Hallelujah. Galatians 5, 16 to 21. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You can say then that flesh, the carnal nature of Satan and his demons, is the hindrance to our being holy as Jesus is holy. That is true. But from the beginning, God told us that even though sin has a desire to have us, we can rule over him. The key, once again, is to be able to separate yourself from the nature and character of the kingdom of darkness. Genesis 4:7, God is speaking and saying, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. First Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Thank you, Lord.
Holiness is developed in us, as previously stated, as we yield to the Lord our minds, will, emotions, and desires. Perhaps the greatest hurdle to leap is that of pride of life, or the great I will.
Wow.
We are either going to yield to the will of God, or we're going to be deceived into making the decision to do things our way. Independent-mindedness is a killer of holiness. It will be either I will or thy will. There is no middle ground. This applies no matter what area or aspect of our lives comes into play day by day. I will is another name for the nature of the kingdom of Satan and his demons. I will is the biggest cry of the flesh. I'm going to read to you from Romans 8. Actually, I'm going to let Vicki read to you from Romans 8, substituting this concept for the words spirit and flesh.
Okay, I hope you understood what Phil just said. We're not going to read the words spirit or flesh. Instead, I'm going to substitute thy will and I will. Romans 8, verse 1 through 6. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the I will, but after the thy will. For the law of the thy will of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the I will, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful I will, and for sin, condemned sin in the I will, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the I will, but after the thy will. For they that are after the I will do mind the things of the I will, but they that are after the thy will, the things of the thy will. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the I will cannot please God.
Clearly, being carnally minded is thinking of self as supreme, putting your own wants and desires ahead of what God wants from you and desires for you to have. Carnal mindedness is I will mindedness, and it is enmity, which means mutual hatred with God. The mind of Christ is thy will mindedness and is in harmony with God. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The purpose in our having the mind of Christ is not to become a judge of God and his people, bringing correction to all. Having the mind of Christ positions us in agreement with the Father. It is that kind of agreement which transcends obedience.
Hallelujah.
Yes, obedience is better than sacrifice, but agreement is a step above. When we are in agreement with God and his word, his will, and his ways of doing things, there's no need for submission and authority. There's no wondering what the Lord wants or second-guessing his instructions and directions. Agreement makes submission to authority obsolete. Obviously, no one of us is totally in that position in all areas of our lives. If we were, we would indeed be holy as he is holy.
Hallelujah.
Lucifer was the first being to initiate independence by saying in his heart, I will. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 14. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. It was at this point, Lucifer, that name means son of the morning, was thrown out of heaven and became known as Satan. That name means enemy of good. Pride caused this awesome angelic being to become despised and rejected by God and later defeated by Christ Jesus. Satan was immediately cut off from God and lost the source of his power. He forgot that God had created him and owned him. Satan thought he could make his own decisions and go his own way just fine. Independence is basically the I will of I can do it myself. The I will of I can do it better than you can. The I will of I deserve the position and advantage of special favor. The I will of I'm more spiritual than others and shouldn't be asked to meet practical needs of people. The I will of I'm right, you're wrong, you're the one who must apologize, and cuts us off from the source of our power. Independent thinking is a holiness killer. It cuts us off from our power source and leaves us to flounder in defeat. God resists the proud. All this tells me that holiness begins in obedience and is tied to humility. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, surrendered his will to the will of his Father. He then obeyed the Father's will and humbled himself to the most wicked form of capital punishment. Think of it. The Lord of life was so consecrated that he humbled himself to the death of the cross. Thank you, Jesus.
Luke 22, verses 40 through 42. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Philippians 2, 7 and 8. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus paid the price so that we could enter into the thy will of the Father through the blood of the Son. As we learn to separate ourselves from unclean thoughts, actions, and attitudes, the Lord helps us assemble our gift of holiness to the Father. It is a process, not an event. Begin today to examine your life, all areas of your life, to determine whether or not you have set each aspect apart and yielded it to the Lord. Philippians 2, 12 through 15. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not so in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings or disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world.
Thank you, Lord. Many people have accepted Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. This denies the true significance of Christianity. The true significance of Christianity is not when I get Jesus, it's when he gets me. Now, please hear this. I am not referring to the current ad campaign of Jesus gets us. In my opinion, these commercials are distasteful at best, deceptive at worst, because they imply that a person can live however he wants to and it's okay with God because he understands. Yes, he understands, but no, he does not disregard, overlook, or wink at sin. God is not pleased with the ungodly and those who work the works of the Lord deceitfully from a place of independent I will, rather than following thy will by leaning into God and depending on him. Jeremiah 48:10. Cursed be he that does the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keeps back his sword from blood. Developing holiness in character and action wounds the enemy. We slay demons by holiness, taking blood in the heavens. Holiness begins in obedience. It is upheld in humility, and it is perfected in agreement. That, I believe, is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God.
Amen. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Consider Enoch. Genesis 5, 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews 11, 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch, like Jesus, did things which were pleasing to God. He was rewarded for having the perfect will of God in his heart and following it. He was in agreement with God and walked right over the grave and into eternity with the Father. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Obedience is good, humility is acceptable, and agreement is perfect. The Lord expects each one of us to accept his gift of righteousness and allow it to work in us as we assemble our gift to him of holiness.
Hallelujah. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Enoch walked with God. The perfect will, agreement. Hallelujah. Holiest, our gift to God. We have to assemble it. But thankfully, the Lord is with us and in us to help us do that. So if you'd like to pray tonight with me, and once again, pledge your allegiance to the Lord, then pray this prayer out loud with me. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For these insights into holiness. Forgive me for saying I cannot be holy.
Forgive me for saying I cannot be holy.
When you've said in your word.
When you said in your word.
That is what I am to be.
That is what I am to be.
Father, you wouldn't have said it if it weren't possible.
Father, you wouldn't have said it if it weren't possible.
Work with me each day.
Work with me each day.
As I depend on you, Jesus.
As I depend on you, Jesus.
To help me assemble my gift to God.
To help me assemble my gift to God.
Get me out of myself, Lord.
Get me out of myself, Lord.
And into you.
And into you.
Help me to give over.
Help me to give over.
Into your care, custody, and control.
Into your care, custody, and control.
Every part of my soul.
Every part of my soul.
So that your thoughts become my thoughts.
So that your thoughts become my thoughts.
That I match my emotions to your emotions.
That I match my emotions to your emotions.
So that my desires become what you desire for me to have.
So that my desires become what you desire for me to have.
And that I can sincerely and steadfastly resolve.
So that I can sincerely and steadfastly resolve.
Not my will, Father, but thy will.
Not my will, Father, but thy will.
In every situation and circumstance.
In every situation and circumstance.
I want to work the works of God.
I want to work the works of God.
Every day.
every day.
As a natural outflow of your presence in me.
As a natural outflow of your presence in me.
And with me.
And with me.
Keep me out of a works mentality, Lord.
Keep me out of a works mentality, Lord.
While your faith in me.
By your faith in me.
Is producing those good works.
Is producing those good works.
Works of love and blessings in the world.
Works of love and blessings in the world.
I want to wield the sword.
I want to wield the sword.
Against the enemy.
Against the enemy.
With power.
With power.
And genuine truth.
And genuine truth.
So that the good things I do.
So that the good things I do.
Are not deceitfully accomplished.
Are not deceitfully accomplished.
I break all agreement with the pride of life.
I break all agreement with the pride of life.
And I ask that you show me daily.
Ask that you show me daily.
When I am falling into it.
When I am falling into it.
You, Lord Jesus, are my deliverer.
You, Lord Jesus, are my deliverer.
You are my strength and my salvation.
You are my strength and my salvation.
Today and forever.
Today and forever.
Let me never forget.
Let me never forget.
Who I am in you.
Who I am in you.
And that I am righteous only because of you.
That I am righteous only because of you.
And cooperate with you.
Cooperate with you.
In assembling my gift of holiness.
Assembling my gift of holiness.
Unto our Father.
Unto our Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've heard the cry of our hearts and that you honor our pledge, Lord. And help us to honor our pledge to be holy as you are holy. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have a comment or a question tonight, please unmute your phone. That's *6. If you're on a telephone, or unmute your computer, turn on your microphone or whatever that little symbol is. Anybody, you want to tell me you're here if you didn't have that opportunity before? That'd be nice.
Hi, it's Marie.
Hi, Marie.
Another great night. Thank you.
God bless you, honey. Hallelujah. Anybody else?
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Kyle.
I did have two questions.
Okay.
Because I didn't get a chance to write it down. So you were just saying about the yielding part. I just wanted to write that down.
Okay. All right. We have to yield every part of our soul.
To yield every part of our soul.
So that you give up your mind for the mind of Christ.
So you give up your mind. Go ahead, sorry.
you match your emotions to God's emotions.
Your emotions. God's emotions.
You give over your desires for what the Father desires for you to have.
Give over your desires. The desires.
Mm-hmm. For what the Father wants you to have.
The desires of what?
For what the Father wants you to have.
For what the Father wants you to have.
And you give up your will for the will of the Father.
Give up your will. But you said something earlier, we have to yield. And I remember there was a last part that you mentioned of our soul for divinity or something like that.
Your mind is mutual enmity with God. Is that what you're looking for? It's enmity.
Well,
that means mutual hatred.
Okay. Well, earlier, I think it was around 8:45, I think you said, you mentioned yield, and then there was something that really stood out to me, and you said it twice. You said we had to yield. It was like a short sentence. I'm trying to think. It's similar to this one, but it was much shorter. We had to yield every part of our soul, or yield every part of ours, or maybe, I think maybe Mr. Phil said it. To be fundamental or something like that. Not fundamental, but there was a word, something. Well, could you send me this link so I could listen to it again?
Yes, yes. As we yield every area of our souls to Him, the Lord develops His holiness in us as a part of our nature rather than a work of our determination. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, yes, thank you. Holiness. He develops His holiness in us
As we yield our souls to Him.
Our souls. Wow, that's pretty powerful. And you said the other part, he develops our holiness. There was something else you just said, dang it.
As a part of our nature.
Oh, yes, yes. As a part. Our nature.
Not a work of our determination.
A work. Of our determination.
Okay. Who else has something tonight?
Thank you, Miss Vicki. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Kyle.
Thank you, Vicki. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Questions come. Thank you, Nick.
Powerful word tonight. I want to see if I can get you to send it to me also so I can soak it in a little bit more tonight. Tomorrow night, please.
I'll be glad.
I as well, too, please. Thank you.
Okay, Marie.
Me too, Vicki. Thank you.
All righty. And thank you for being here, Claudia. And also, we will repeat this message on Friday, as usual. Any other comments before we close tonight? Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you, dear.
Vicki, it was simply very, very smart and powerful.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you for you guys' intelligence. You are gifted, you guys. Gifted. Praise
that
the
would
Lord.
Be the
thank
whole
picture. Amen.
Holy Ghost.
Well, that's where gifts come from, is the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that it touches the hearts of your people in such an amazing way. Thank you that you seal it in their hearts tonight, that it is alive in their life, that it is sealed in their minds. They have understanding, Lord. We just thank you for it. We give you the honor and the glory for your word, Lord, and that it does not come back void, but accomplishes what it was set to do. Hallelujah. So again, we give you honor and praise this day, Lord. We bow our knee to you. We thank you, Lord, that your angels are encamped around your people this week, giving them a God-filled, glorious week in you. Strengthened and empowered by you to do mighty exploits in your name. Hallelujah. Thank you for your anointing, Lord. And as Aaron blessed the children of Israel in Numbers, the sixth chapter, the Aaronic benediction, we close with that in Hebrew and in English. God bless you as you hear it. Receive it. Receive the blessing of the Lord. Yivarechecha Adonai ve'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav ve'lecha ifunecha Yisah Adonai panav ve'lecha v'yisem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. And I am in Yeshem Yeshua in the name of Jesus, the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, that you have not forgotten your land, Lord. Bless your people, Lord. Bless them. Protect them. Camp your angels around them, Lord. Be with them this week in a mighty way. Glorify your name through us, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We love you all. We will be back here in the morning, 7:15, for the King's Table. This message will be repeated on Friday night. And God bless you all.
God bless you both and everybody on the line. Good night.
Love bye.
You.
Good night.
God bless y'all. Love y'all. Talk to you in the morning.
Sorry, boss.
night, everybody. Good night.
Good night, Mitch.
Good night, both sisters.
I think I heard Larry. Good night.